The book of Hebrews chapter 10, if you look there with me tonight. Hebrews chapter 10. We're all very much aware that Hebrews 11, the whole chapter is a faith chapter. It's got a lot of different titles. Some call it the faith chapter, heroes of faith, whatever you choose to call it. But I'm reading these verses that are leading up to Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 35. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. I have been... There's a lot of different things that we've been involved in the last weeks here in preparation for WYGE Share-a-thon. One of the things that I've been working on is a list of churches and ministers, trying to update a list just for contact information. For one thing, we always provide bulletin inserts for all the churches that print a bulletin, and we make contact with pastors asking them if they will announce on Sunday, the share-a-thon the next day. And so I've been updating that. And as what I have done is kind of a survey of our community and our county as far as churches, Pentecostal churches, full gospel churches. Arlene has been handling the Baptist, and I've been handling the Pentecostals and the full gospel and the holiness groups. The Baptists have a little bit more of an organization, the Law River Missionary Baptist Association. So all she had to do is just call over to Roy Faulkner, and he sends her by email the list of all these churches. Pentecostals, we're so scattered, and we're so disassociated with one another, and we know one another, but there's and all of this that I was looking through, all the various churches, it really impressed upon me the importance of where we are right here, our own church, and how God has so blessed us just with the location that we're at, the visibility that we have in the community. People, no matter where they go, they're going to pass this church a lot and drive by on Main Street. So we have probably one of the better located churches, Pentecostal, Baptist, or any type of church in the community as far as location is concerned. But as Pentecostals, I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful that the Lord, in His own planning and directing of those that were in leadership many years ago, God directed that we would be right here where we are at this location. And much of that, and I don't know all of the history, but much that I do know, I know that there were many, many things that took place that were acts of faith, steps of faith. Even in locating here and coming to this property and the purchasing of this property and the structure and just everything that was going on here over many, many years, there was just like one step of faith after another. Just trusting God to do it, trusting God to provide, trusting God to give a direction. And so really we could very easily say that God sovereignly placed us where we are, and it was all an act of obedience and an act of faith in God. And our heritage is one of great faith. And I believe that if there's many things that you can lose in your Christian experience, you can You can have your faith stolen from you. The enemy comes in. The Bible says that he is a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The nature of the enemy of our soul is to come in and to try to steal from us. He wants to steal in your own life personally. He wants to take from you the potential of your life. And your gifts, sometimes even your health, and so many different things that the enemy comes in and he wants to steal. And I think he also ultimately wants to rob you of your faith in God, your faith in the Word of God. And as Pentecostals, people who understand the importance of daily living by faith, walking by faith, that we can't please God unless we are living a life of faith. And it used to be, I know that's not so much now, because, you know, we are seldom in a position that we have to just say, okay, God, I don't know what to do. I'm going to have to trust you. Because we have doctors when we're sick, and we have the bank and when we need some more money, and we have resources other than faith, trusting God in our times of need. But faith is something that that has been stolen by the enemy from the people of God. And many times among Pentecostals, we've been so, we've had such a negative attitude toward some who've taken the whole idea of faith and they've just taken it to the extreme and taken it totally out of the context of Scripture and do wild and crazy things under the name of faith. And so as a result of that, we've just kind of backed away from that, and instead of realizing that we're to be walking by faith, we're to be, and it's our life, we're to be living by faith, and we're to be developing and strengthening our faith and believing God for wonderful things, for things much bigger than us. We're to have a large faith that's growing and developing, and that we're walking with the Lord every day. Amen. So I don't think that we have just lost faith in God. I think that the enemy, he's come in and he's stolen some things from us. And do you know how bad it feels to have something stolen? Oh, it just feels bad. It just feels so upsetting. In the last couple of years, I've had two computers stolen from the office back here. In the last, maybe it's more than 2 years, 2 or 3 years. And, you know, you say, well, that's not that big deal, $400 or $500, and you can replace it. Yeah, but there's so much on it that you can't replace. And one computer, there was several years, 2 or 3 years, or maybe more years of lots of studies and things that I had worked on for hours and hours and saved at that computer and didn't have it backed up as I should have. And so when the computer's gone, all of that was gone. And, it just feels bad. It makes me mad, and I get upset. But then I realize, you know, it's gone. I can't do it. I've gone around to pawn shops all over this community looking to see if they had my computer in there on the shelf. And I don't know. Whoever the thieves were, they went somewhere else and stole it, or sold it, I guess, because it wasn't in any Laurel County pawn shops. But it's a bad feeling when you lose something. But I tell you, when the enemy comes in and he steals from your life, your spiritual treasures, when he takes from you things that are so important and so valuable, it's a bad feeling. It really is. But I want you to know, there's a great story in Scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I'm not going to go through this entire chapter, but just very quickly, just to remind you that God not only will restore to you what the enemy has taken away from you, but he will also give you much greater and far beyond what the enemy has tried to steal from you. You know the story. David and his men, 600 men, they return back to the city of Ziklag. When they get there, it's on fire. The Amalekites have come in and they have literally burnt the city down and stolen away all their families. And the Bible says that when David and his men came into that city of Ziklag and saw the devastation and the loss of their families, the Bible says that David and his men sat down and wept until they had no more power to weep. They thought, everything is gone. Everything is lost. And even to the point, you know, there's always, you know, you want to blame someone, and we know that it was the enemy that came in and stole away and did all the destruction, but they wanted to blame David. And so David, the Bible says, and this to me is so amazing, that out of the midst of all of this, this is one of the lower times in the life of David, but somehow out of this low, dark experience in his life, somehow he still knew what to do. He still knew that he was going to have to call on the Lord. The Bible says that with all this hanging over him, and even his closest companions wanting to stone him to death, he's lost his family, everything is gone, and now his close companions are wanting to kill him. But the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. He didn't have anybody. But he just, I don't know what he did. I can just picture him just looking for a place, maybe to find some tree or some place to go to get alone from all of this, that's this calamity that's just fallen down upon him. And he just somehow knew that he had to get alone with God. And he had to get in the presence of God. And he had to get encouraged by the Lord. And that's what he did. He just was strengthened and encouraged just between him and the Lord. And then the Bible says that David, that he inquired of the Lord. He went to the priest and inquired of the Lord, what do I do? Do I pursue after them? Will I overtake them? If I do chase after them, will it be successful? Will I be able? And then he received this wonderful promise. I tell you that the promises of God are absolutely essential to your faith. Laying hold of the promises of God. He said, do I pursue? Do I go after them? Am I going to be able to get back the things that I have lost here? And the priest said, pursue. Pursue, and you're going to go, and you will recover it all. You will recover all of it. And so David, this wasn't just on a whim. What he was doing was not just on a whim. He was doing what he did because he heard the promise of God. And he'd encouraged himself in the presence of the Lord. And so then he pursues. And something about a man or a woman of faith, people want to follow after someone who's got faith in God. And so all those men who are wanting to stone him are now, they're all mounting their horses to follow him. As he says, we're going to go, and God has promised me that we are going to pursue and we are going to recover all that has been stolen from us. And that's exactly what happened. Read the whole chapter and you can get all the details. You can read how that when he finally comes and finds where these Amalekites are, they go forth and they slay them from morning until evening. And they destroy their enemies. Just a few of their enemies escape and run away. And everything, their families are all restored to them. And all their possessions are given back to them. And what's so wonderful is that it goes beyond that. And it says that they not only did they recover their own possessions, but they recovered all the spoil that those thieves had been taking, more than likely going from city to city and village to village, and their bags were just filled, and their tents, no doubt, were filled with all the wealth and all the treasures, and now they've all ran off, or they have all been defeated by David's armies, his men. And the Bible says, when you read the last part of that chapter 30, that not only did they get their families back and their possessions back, but they got a great amount of spoil. It was so much spoil. When you read the last four or five verses of chapter 30, you'll see that there's about five or six different groups of people, cities and villages, that David said, no, we're going to send part of this spoil to them. And he just dispersed it to all of his friends and to different ones that had touched him or blessed him or helped him in his life. There was so much. Not only did he recover it all, but he recovered a great abundance and was able to spread it around to all of those. Now, if it's true, what I'm describing for you tonight, and I believe that it is, that the enemy has come into your life, he's come into our church, and probably not just ours, but many churches, and he has robbed our faith. He has stolen away our faith. That not only can it be recovered, but we can recover even much greater than we could ever expect, than we could ever imagine that God could do for us if we will just put our trust in the Lord. You understand that faith lost or faith stolen, it's probably going to be, you know, a few weeks ago we were coming back from Ohio, I think, and Sister Huff, I remember she was in the car with us. And the little thing come on my dash, the little light came on that said, your tire is low. My car tells me what the pressure in each tire is. It comes up and shows the four wheels and tells me how much air pressure is in each tire. I'm sure glad it does that, because I would have, no doubt, gradually leaked out and lost, and it could have been a dangerous situation, and I could have lost it all. But instead, I was able to get it taken care of. Two bolts, actually, not nails, bolts, with the washers still on the bolts, were in my tire. And I don't know where I picked it up, but it was gradually going down, going down, going down. I don't know where you have lost or where your faith has been taken from you, but I do know that as Pentecostals, full gospel believers, Bible-believing Christians, that we need to be acting in faith, living in faith, and believing God to do wonderful and mighty things. Amen. Absolute, total trust in God. Do you believe His Word? Do you lay a hold of the promises of God? Do you have confidence in His Word that what God has spoken, that God is able to perform it? Amen. You see, really, it's our spiritual life. We can't survive without faith. The just shall live by faith. And the enemy is the one that comes and steals your faith, and you go through some attack of the enemy and find yourself on the other side of that trial, and you just feel like, I'm all whipped. I can't do anything. I don't have any confidence or any strength in the Lord. What do you do when you find yourself in that place where you're not going to be able to have a spiritual life? You're not without faith. The just shall live by faith, and without faith, you're not going to survive in this world, spiritually speaking. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So what do you do? What do you do whenever you recognize that the enemy has stolen your faith, and you don't have the faith that you did 5 years ago or 15 years ago? You know, it used to be that people, when no matter what they experienced, they would pray about it. They would just trust God and would just act in faith and step out in faith. Everything was a matter of trusting God. A lot of times we don't even think about that, because we just figure out, how am I going to solve this problem? How am I going to work this out? And we, without putting our trust in the Lord, He wants us to trust Him and put our confidence in Him, because He is there for you to help you and to answer your situation, whatever whatever you might be experiencing. Amen. Do you understand that in the book of our book of Hebrews, chapter 11, in every case, that every one of these great heroes of faith, it describes what their situation was, and then it describes what they did, how they acted on it, how they acted on what God was saying to them. Do you understand that faith is an activity? Faith is action. Faith is obedience. It's not just something that you say, oh yeah, I believe God. Faith is whenever you take it and it becomes something you act upon. You actually begin to move out with confidence even with no evidence that God is at work, but you just have a confidence that God is working in your behalf. Amen. So you step out in faith. You literally act upon the Word of God. Amen. We know that faith, our faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of the Lord. There has to be this getting a hold of the promise of God and then standing on it. Amen. Believing it, trusting and acting upon it, believing that God will do what He has promised that He would do. Peter was able to step out and walk on water simply because Jesus said, come. And really, that word is what he stepped out on. He didn't step out on the water. He stepped out on that promise. If you'll come, just come and you can walk on the water in the middle of this storm. So if you can get a hold of a word from the Lord, get in the Word of God, spend enough time with the Lord and with His Word, and allow Him to speak to you and to give you an assurance that He is at work. Then you can act even though everything appears to be against you. And you don't see how that it could ever, ever change. But you're acting in faith. Amen. One preacher was telling about his little girl that she kept coming to him and saying, Daddy, I want you to build me a dollhouse. And he was busy and he just kept saying, okay, I will. I'm going to do that. I'll do that. I'll do that for you. Well, she heard him say, I'll do that. And so she just starts collecting up everything, all of her toys and all of her dolls, and she puts them in the place where she wants this dollhouse to be built. And the dad, who happens to be a pastor, is kind of looking over his book that he's busy reading and watching her acting in faith. And he said he couldn't stand it much longer till finally he had to get up and go to the lumber yard and get the materials that he needed, because he had just simply said, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. And she believed it and acted upon it. And it became reality. I know that's a simple little childish example, but that's exactly how we live our life, that we believe His Word and we act in faith upon His Word. We step out in advance before we see any evidences that God is working. We just get a hold of the promise of God. Amen. And we step out in faith. I've known all of my life of people who live by faith. And have admired people who walk by faith and live by faith. And just trust God to supply for them and to work in their needs. And I think that really what the enemy does is he slips in and on the blind side. And he just steals your confidence and steals your faith. And through trials and troubles and problems, you get overwhelmed with all of these things and you forget about the fact that God is a God who will supply and will work and will answer your prayer. So you step out in faith and in advance. And as David did, you pursue as he did. He pursued his family, and that they were all, he got a hold of the promise of God, and then he just pursued until he had received what he was longing for. Your faith, it's absolutely essential in your faith that you spend increased times with God in prayer and in the Word of God. That's where your faith is going to be strengthened. That's where it's going to be strengthened. If you listen to the lies of the enemy and all of the defeat and the hopelessness that the enemy would like to send your way, then you're going to be hopelessly defeated. But when you put your trust in the Lord and you turn away from all of the negative, faithless voices, and you listen to God and you listen to His Word and you stand upon the Word and you spend a greater amount of time with the Lord in the Word and in prayer, then your faith will be strengthened. Amen. And then you also need to remember that your faith, you have to distinguish between our human thinking and our reasoning. That's what we do too often about needs or problems. We try to figure out how God should take care of our problem. And sometimes we help him out sometimes and get in there and we get ourselves into bigger messes. So it's totally beyond human reasoning. And many times the way God works, when he provides for you in some supernatural way, you would have never dreamed that it could work out that way. You would never have believed with all of your imagination, you'd never be able to figure it out that God can work in wonderful supernatural ways beyond reason. Then how about the importance of asking God for big things? Amen. Asking God for big things. See, what we do is we limit the Holy One of Israel. We limit God because we don't trust Him for big things. We don't trust Him to move in impossible situations. Our faith is strong in some areas, but whenever it comes to big things, we have a difficulty putting our trust and our confidence in the Lord. I want to encourage you tonight. Believe God. Believe His Word. Spend more time with Him and more time with the Word. Strengthen yourself in your most, you know, build yourself up in your most holy faith so that whenever you are faced with challenges or not just problems, but whenever you're wanting to believe God for great and mighty things, that you will have that wonderful resource of His Word and His promises to stand upon. Amen. Glory to God. Strengthen your faith. Don't let the enemy steal your faith from you. Hebrews says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't throw it away. Don't neglect your confidence, your faith. Hold on to it. Believe God to do some wonderful, great recompense of reward. Great things that He will do as you put your trust in the Lord. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. It's in that interlude between the time that you hear from God and you know that God has given you the promise and you see it being fulfilled. It's in that in-between time, that interlude, that you have difficulty. And the Scripture here says you have need of patience. Trust God. Wait on the Lord. Know that He's